Friends, I'm turning to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained life, precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Friends, my title is The Blessed State of the Believer, which is often ignored. The Blessed State of the Believer, which is often ignored. And you may assume I have a kind of far. In Shira, any man can say, or you can say, a GD4. I am so a GD4. It's a name of the 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 name. For the lack of knowledge, Apostle Paul said, my people perish. Because we do not know the promises of God, either we do not know or we don't believe them, we can't tap into it to actually see the blessings of God in our lives. So tonight I want us to digest this passage and see the various promises that God has given us, which we are not benefiting. This epistle was written around AD 64 to 65 by Apostle Peter. And the purpose was to encourage the early Christians because they were murmuring, they were suffering, there were persecutions and all kinds of things. So they were murmuring because of persecutions and hostility. So in these verses, we see how he reminds them, the suffering believers, that who they are. He tells them exactly who they are and why they are going through that. You see, sometimes we say that if you know the benefits of something, see, the suffering for you to get something becomes nothing because of what you are supposed to get. Saka say, Peter, a trokoma, a gidipua, na sabreno, omu elimi, because na ye tata omu. Omo fa any ma be brim. It was choco mom, et so mo say. Ma and how omo say yet at our own. Because in shre o mom and yasem kitwa. Na because they say every one say wouldn't shabby a wahomawa and fa mon no how we come. We yes and shall and I will feel how nina. And no matter and an epita eka. Now that situation is like a person who is rich, but does not know. Somebody, maybe the parents have left so much money for him, but he doesn't know. So because of that, he lives as a poor person, going through poverty and all kind of things. When there's so much money lying down for him, but because he doesn't know. As someone walking, as he said, any pebia, owosika, nansu onim su owosika. Ebia na wufokwe wu ejaniskebi, nansu onim utino, o fa o haunu, akitimu. And he will be home never must ask. Then you're only going to say, and this is the DNT now, all fast out of a crown with him. Salamet here, it was a GD4 in him. And only after one, Peter, and no more air can master. In other words, if a person is that rich and does not know, it will be a wonder to people who see him because they know he's rich and yet he's living as a pauper. That is what was happening to the people there. I'm sure people will ask him, well, does he not know that he is that rich, he is that healthy, that he's going through all these things? Does he believe that he's wealthy? These are the questions that people will be asking. And I'm sure our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or Peter will also be wondering, as these Christians, why they were that worried, knowing who the benefits that God has prepared for them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." See, Jesus Christ left his glorious high office in heaven to come and to become poor in this world, to suffer and finally die, all for our sake, so that we can become rich. He has done all these things for us, so that we will become rich. So, and that exchange, that's why I always say that salvation is a package. Salvation is a package. Once you are saved, any other thing that we need in this world, any other situation that you go through, you are with Christ. As we're learning this morning, you are with him forever and ever. And we see a lot of promises that God has made for people who believe. Even reading from where we just read from 2 Peter chapter 1 there, from verse 4, it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world." Precious promises that are in the Bible that we don't know. But because we don't know or we don't read the scriptures, we don't study it well, so we are not able to tap into all these things. So from here, as he's saying, he exchanged his riches for us to become rich, so that he will become poor. And how did this exchange work? Or what does it represent? It represents salvation. That is why I say salvation is a package. That's why the Bible says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things." We are going to see all that thing that he's talking about will be added unto you. So what is this divine exchange? First, his riches. Like I said, Jesus possessed all the glories of heaven. We all know who he is. Divinity and authority over every creation. That is him. And yet he left all this, what he left. He left it to come and die for us so that we can have that. We can have that, his riches. That is what the divine exchange is. That is why I'm talking about salvation. It all begins with salvation. And this is what people don't know, that our charismatic friends keep applying these promises to themselves. If you read the passage very well, he's talking about people who have become partakers, people who are truly born again, who are walking with the Lord. They are the ones that the promises is for. It's not just a churchgoer or people who just think that they have read it. That is why they can't see it and they are performing miracle, fake miracles to confuse their people, because they are not believers. They don't really belong to that class. They are not partakers of the glories that God has left. But otherwise, if you are part of it, you will see all these glories. Now, his poverty. Like I said, he set aside his glory so that he became human, lived a humble life we all saw, and died a shameful death on the cross. He didn't even have a place to stay. You see, all he did, all those things for us, so that we could be rich. Then what is our riches? We have talked about his riches. We have talked about his poverty. Then our riches, our own riches. And like I said, through the sacrifice, believers are made rich in spiritual blessings. We know all the blessings that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has. And all those things have been given to us because of his death on the cross of Calvary. And this includes forgiveness of sin. That is what I'm saying. Your sins must be forgiven you. That's the first qualification for you to be part of these people, to be a partaker of this. You must have your sins forgiven you. Forgiveness of sins, justification. When your sins are forgiven you, you are justified. That is why we say salvation is not a process. It's an instant thing. You are justified even though you are sinful by birth, by nature, by choice, and yet you are justified because of Christ, because of what he did. So he imputes his righteousness unto you. That is the state of the believer. Then adoption as children of God. Before this, you are not a child of God. You are a creature of God. Because you lost the glory from the beginning. For you to regain that glory is what he has done through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So not until this has been done and you are born again, you are not a child of God. And then he has also given you eternal life. What else do you want? These are all the things that our God gave to Adam and Eve from the beginning, which they lost. And for us who have become believers, we have become like that. Eternal life is there for us. We are adopted as God's children. Our sins are forgiven us. We are justified, even though we are sinners. Now, many people interpret this strictly as only spiritual work. I agree with them. But we have so, well, if you read our book, the Men of Destiny and the Men of Purpose and all, they were very rich people. People invented, who still fear God, who serve God sincerely. God can bless your business if it is his will. It doesn't, the Bible does not say that we should not work or make any efforts to be rich. God can make you rich if it fits him. So this riches that we have is all our need, material and spiritual. All these are supplied by the same God if you are a partaker of this divine glory. Now, the passage also makes you understand the Christian's grace, the grace that we have with our Lord and Savior. But like I said, there are a lot of believers who do not know this, who are not even aware of all what the Lord has done for them. But you go back to creation. Look at how God provided everything for man. The Garden of Eden, everything that they will need to live. And that is what in our text, please, if you come back with me to the First Peter account. He said, the verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But how do you get that? Through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. You see, you can get all these things through the knowledge of him. That's why I said it begins from being born again, your sins being forgiven, you being enlightened. Now you can understand scripture, and then all these things will be available unto you. So let's meditate a little bit over this passage. And here you see that Peter describes this wealth that we have. Look, we say beginning from verse 1, he said that Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, he says, when he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. And this all comes through the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, he says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things pertaining to life. Things that God knew everything from the beginning. So even right from creation, he provided everything that man would need before he even created man. And this is what he has done for us. He has provided everything for us that is pertaining to life and godliness. And so what I want you to see in this passage of scripture and in all the other passages is this. I know that many of you are not going to believe this. But listen carefully. There's no situation in this world that you go to that God has not made provision for you in the scriptures. No situation. What else? Think about the who come there. I'm not even rushing there. So let's see these promises and the riches that he has given us. And like I said before, it begins with salvation and forgiveness. That is the beginning. You must be saved for you to actually qualify to benefit from all these promises. So let's begin with the first evidence of God's word that has given unto us. And I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 5 for a moment. And in verse 6, he said, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone will die. But when you were sinners, God demonstrated his own love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord and Savior, etc., for whom we have now received reconciliation." Even you see that the love he had for us when we were sinners, when we did not know him, he had ensured us this love, and he sent his son to come and die to save us from the wrath to come. As I said in the morning, there's a wrath to come, so he has come to save us. So when you trusted our Lord and Savior as your personal Savior, he forgave you all your sins and brought you into relationship with God. You are now a child of God, a personal relationship with God. You have a legacy. He has left a legacy for you, and that is God is your Father. The moment you are over here, assembly, di ya odo huma yesu pepe 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 no. Ehono ano wajabo ejapadiye na ejapadiye no eni di eni se unyangu pong eyo o papa. Nse unyangu pong eyo papa. Eden biyo na usonu iyasi. Ono ayo the omniscient, the omnipotent, the omnipresent, the Alpha and the Omega. If he is your Father, what do you fear? And this is what you are, especially if you have been born again, if you are giving your life. So you see to be who you used to be. You used to be a child of the devil. It's all said there. He said you have escaped the corruption of this world because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you have become a child of God because of Christ. And this is a legacy forever and ever. As I said in the morning, you stay there forever and ever. And there are a lot of promises, so many of them that we are going to go through tonight. And I'm sure by the time we finish, it will change the way you think about your own self. And then you will see whether, why are you not benefiting from the promises? Is it from God or from you? These are the lessons that we are going to learn tonight. So you are now a child of God, number one. Very, very important. And until that happens, nothing else that we are going to talk about will apply to you. If this first legacy is not yours, all what we are going to talk about doesn't concern you. You must begin with salvation. And not only did he save you and cleanse you and wrote your name in the Lamb book of record, but he gave you a promise in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. He said, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What an awesome promise. If only you confess your sins. He said he is faithful and just. God is faithful. God cannot lie. Whatever he has said will happen. And just. And he said that he will forgive you all your sins if only you confess. This means, it means that me and you, we were living in a life of filthy, dirty, in a dirty world. But because of him, we can stay clean. We have been taken out of that dirty, and we are now clean with him. But what does he say? If we confess our sins, mark this very, very sentence, and then he is faithful. God is faithful. So it is we. If you confess your sins, he is faithful, he will forgive you and give you a clean sheet, as if you have never seen before. That's what we call it, justification. Even though you are sin, he sees you as somebody who has never seen before. So once you are in this state, it means you can trust him. Remember, he said he's faithful and just, and he has the right to do it. God has the right to do whatever he wants to do. Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from every unrighteous thing. He is the one who has the power to do this. And it's a legacy. It's a very, very important promise for your sins to be forgiven you, for you to be cleansed from your sins and live with God. So now, you are wealthy. You have the privilege of going to the Almighty. I'm asking Him whatever you want. We'll come back to that. We'll come to that as we are going. And He has also promised you of eternal life. Once your sins are forgiven you, once you confess and you're forgiven you, He's giving you all what you need in this world, plus eternal life in heaven with Him. This is an awesome promise, isn't it? It's a possession that the Lord has given to those who fear Him. When we were reading Psalm 34, He said, those who fear Him. Talking about those who fear Him. Do you fear God? Do you really fear God? Then you are in this category of people. Then He also, like I said, every situation that you go into, there's a promise of God in the Bible for you. We can't talk about all of them, otherwise it takes the whole day. But we are looking at a few of them that God has promised us. He has also promised of His constant presence and help. Wherever we are, He has promised to be with you. So that's what I always say. If God is with you, do you fear demons? If God is with you, what do you fear? If God is with you, but the problem is He with you? This promise then applies to you. His promise of His presence and help at all times. And where did He say this? He said that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Osema, when you saw their war, be content with whatever you have. Nefu said, Radina can say, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. And when the Apostle Paul was quoting here, look at what he said. He said, for He has said, which is the promise was there from the beginning. We don't know where exactly that Paul is quoting from, but there are so many places. Genesis 28, the Exodus, there are so many of them that God has promised to ever be with us, ever, no matter your situation, wherever you are, He will be with you. Remember when Apostle Paul was writing this, he was in prison. He wasn't in the palace. And he was saying that God will be with you. God has promised that He will be with you no matter your state. And this is one of the promises that every Christian must be happy about. God being with you at all times and in every situation. And then not just being with you, and help you out of your situation, whatever it is. And who is saying this? This is the sovereign God of the universe. The sovereign God, the one who has control over everything. When they come after me, and He has proved it several times in the scriptures. Jacob, God was with him when he was running away. Wherever he went, God was with him. Joseph, look at what happened. Even when he was sold in the prison, God was with him. Wherever he went, God was with him. See, the same God we are talking to today, He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And He is saying that He will be with us and help us. If only we are His child. That's why I said it begins from the beginning. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Who else can give you this promise? No human being on earth can give you this promise, because they all have their limits. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the sovereign God. If He says He will be with you and help you, it is true. And let's say that even in this world, when you are traveling and you have a companion that you can try, you see how happy you are. That's what it is in this world. We are in a journey. We are walking in a journey, freaking progress. But God is with us. The journey is a journey, like I said in the morning, with traps and so many things. And yet God is with us. And if God is with you, who can be against you? No matter whatever the problem or situation that confronts you, do not look at the problem. Don't look at the problem. Look at God. Because he is the one who can take you. Because the more you are looking at the problem, the more stressful you are going to become. But if you look up to God, he will deal with the problem for you. And the promise is that Jesus, your Savior, will be with you. So you can never be alone. As a Christian, you can never, never be alone in this world. And we can also talk about the three friends who were thrown into the fire. They were three. Eventually, they became four. Who were the four persons? And they never got burnt. Even though those who threw them into the fire got burnt, they were in the fire because he was with them. They never got burnt. Lion's den. Daniel was put there. What happened? God shut the mouth of the lion and they couldn't touch him. He was with him in the lion's den. So wherever you go, whatever situation you fall into, God will be with you. What a promise. There's no promise on earth that can stand up to this promise. And this is unconditional. And it belongs to every believer. And nobody can change that. It's a promise in the scripture. And it must be fulfilled. And no one can change. So in your heart, I always remember that I possess Jesus as my intimate friend who lives on the inside of me and who has promised that no matter what goes in my life, he will never leave me nor forsake me. And this is a promise from God, friends. And let's look at John 14, verse 16, the promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said he will not even let us live this life alone. He will leave us in this world to live the life alone, but he will supply with strength and power. He said we have the Holy Spirit, who is called the Helper. What did he say? And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He will give you another Comforter. Who is that Comforter? Sometimes I hear the Muslims saying that Comforter is Muhammad. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Who, he said, he will come and dwell with us, abide with us forever. The moment you are saved, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be with you throughout this journey, throughout this life. And he said forever, not for a period. Forever and ever. And he talked about what he will do for us. He will serve you. The Holy Spirit will enable you to serve the Lord. He is our comforter. Comforts, even the Bible says that when we have to pray, we don't even know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmity. And he repackages our prayer for it to be a prayer that God will answer. He helps us, even right from the beginning. He convicted us of our sins. We were dead in sins and trespasses. He convicted us of our sins and pointed us to Christ. And right from there, the moment we receive Christ, he is with us forever and ever, according to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is his promise. And if this promise don't make you wealthy, then I don't know any promise again that can make you wealthy. Now let's look at another promise again. I think our time is running, but we'll be able to run through it again. He has also promised our daily needs and then answered prayer. He has promised that he will give us our daily needs. Look at Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, and before he said this, all these things he has listed: housing, accommodation, food, shelter, our clothes, everything. But seek first the kingdom of God, and he said, all these things shall be added unto you. And here he said he will give us our daily needs and then answered prayer. So therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. When you look at 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then he goes on, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of the sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This afternoon we're just talking about this. Me and the brother were talking about this verse. I said, men, you know, men, you need your baby, men, you need your bed, men, you need your bed, share. Now, when you go when you say we need more, we need. Because right from the beginning, God provided everything that we need, and that same promise is there. He will give you whatever you need to live in this world until He comes. But have you sought Him? Are you also serving Him? We'll come to that. When you say, if you delight in His work, you also delight in your needs. We'll come to that. So what is He saying? Here is the promise to meet our daily needs. Who can promise you that? Not even our government. Nobody can promise you that except God. The God who never changes. The God who is the Almighty, who has solutions over every. He said He will provide your need no matter what it is. Then what about what He said about answered prayer? Who can promise you that He will answer your prayer in this world? Or somebody may be able to help you in some or whatever, but who can promise that He will answer your prayers? Your prayer. Let's get to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition, that we desire of Him. You see the confidence that we have. We have confidence in Him because He has said it. It is God who has said it, that we if we ask anything according to His will. Our Lord and Savior also said that if you abide in Me and My word abide in you, ask whatever you want and I will give you. Why is He saying that? Because if you abide in Him and He in you, and like our Lord and Savior Jesus is saying that if you live in Him, then your wants becomes His wants. And therefore, whatever you ask will be given you. Obviously, you are not going to ask for things to do any evil thing because now you are thinking at the same level as God. So whatever you ask for, He will give you. That is why He can give this promise. That if you abide in Me and My word abide in you, whatever you ask for, whatever you want, and I will give you. So here is there, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, by all means you will ask according to His will because you are at level headed with Him and therefore He will give you. And you know God cannot lie. Whatever God has said will have to come and pass. So like I said, who can promise you that? No one else. And there are many, many, many words of promise on about answered prayer, but we can't go through all of them. And friends, are you benefiting from this? Are your prayers being answered? If not, the problem will come from you, because God cannot lie. No matter what you need, here is the promise. So that is the confidence that we have in Him. And He makes it clear, for example, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. This is a complete sermon. But this is another promise. Ask. Seek. Knock. And He will answer you. He will give you all these things. There are promises after promises of answered prayer. The same one is in Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto Me, no matter your problem. Come and I will give you rest. It means He will take care of your problem and give you whatever help that you need. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whatever burden you are dealing with, He is the burden bearer. He is the one who bears burden. That's why Christ came to take all our burdens and pin it on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He is the one who is saying this. He is the burden bearer. Bring your burden to Him. Cast it upon Him. And He will take care of you. He has also promised to give us wisdom, peace, and then the desires of our hearts. So He will give you wisdom, He will give you peace, He will give you the desire of your heart. Where did He say this? In James chapter 1, verse 5, He makes the promise of wisdom. And we all need wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge of God. Knowing what God thinks, knowing what God does. That is what we call wisdom. So this is what He says in James 1 verse 5. He said, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, that abundantly, and abated them not, and it shall be given him. See, and he gives generously. If you need wisdom, which is what you need to be able to walk with God, ask him. He is the only wise God. And he says he will supply you liberally or abundantly or generously. He will give you as many, as much as you want, so that you become wise in this world. So do you want wisdom? Now you see the promise of wisdom. He says, a promise of God says that all of us, the sovereign power of God is behind you, and he will make it to work in you. So if you need wisdom, all you need is to go to your Creator. He is the source of wisdom. Now we come to the peace. He has promised to give us peace. Peace is what everybody wants in this world, the nations, all the world that you see going on. People want freedom, people want fairness, people want peace. They want peace, but they want to have the peace through war. How can that happen? You can only get peace from the Prince of Peace. Where peace, the source of peace, which is from God the Almighty. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. This is what Apostle Paul says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, make your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You see, he is the source of peace. He said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That's the peace that he has promised to give you. If you want peace, who do you go to? You go to the Lord. And so he said that rejoice in the Lord always. And he said that don't fear for nothing. In other words, he said, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. But in all things, in whatever you go through, through prayer and supplication, make your request be known unto God. Sometimes when you talk of prayer and supplication, there seems to be confusion. People think they are not the same. Even though it's all pouring your heart unto God, the prayer begins with the praises, the adoration, and the thanksgiving, which must even take a major part of our prayer. Most of the time, we only come with our petitions. More of our petitions than praising the Almighty God and talking about the goodness that he has done and thanking him. So when we say prayer is the beginning. The praises and adorations and thanksgiving, then the supplications becomes our own petitions. So through prayer and supplications, say, make your request be known unto him. So what is he saying? He says that no matter what's going on in your life, God will fulfill your need of peace in your life. And through whom? Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what he says here. And made through, and he said, keep your heart and mind through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through him, God will give us the peace that we want. So if we are going through any situation or circumstance, sometimes we hear some bad news and we are frightened. Go to him. He will calm your heart. And your situation will change. He will give you the peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In John 14, verse 27, he says that, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, he's telling you that he will give you the peace that not as the world wants. Like I said, the world wants their peace through war. He gives you peace through the love, his love for you. Now time is going, so let us rush to another one. Delighting in God and claiming his promises. These are very, very important ones. How to delight in him and claim all the promises. What is your heart desire? What exactly do you want? Do you want to be fruitful? Do you want to be effective and committed to the service of God? Is that the desire of your heart? Then turn with me to Psalm 37 verse 4. Psalm 37 verse 4. If your desire is to be fruitful in the service of God, if your desire is to be effective in your walk with God and to be committed to His service, turn to 37 verse 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. That's what that is saying. Delight thyself in the Lord. Do you delight in the Lord? Are you serving the Lord in what capacity? So that you too, your delight will be met. Say now, soon, Yakupon. A devil now, any boy on Yakupon, you say the Bayah, or not to say, the hear what could be an or the Bemon. And this is God who is saying it, the sovereign God. Say, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. What is your heart's desire? People who run to Archimedes Forest, what are their desires? They want husband, they want wife, they want this, they want that. They want their business to flourish. Some want children, they want this, they want this. They say, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire. I hope they will understand this thing. They will just rush there every Saturday, go and pay gate fees, and go and bow down before some fake prophet and tell him that all your desires will be met. Quoting here. Meanwhile, he's not talking about that. He's talking about people who are partakers of this glory. Are they delighting themselves? How are they serving the Lord? That they can also have their heart's desire met. In other words, what it means is that to be delighted in Him. Ultimately, simple means that above everything else in your life, that is the most important thing. Everything that you are doing in this world, God's work is the most important thing. How do you prepare yourself on Sunday morning, knowing that it is the Lord's day? He has given you 6 days. He has only one day. How do you keep that day? It shows whether His word is important to you or not. Then you are delighting yourself in Him. And then you do that and see. If He will take also, He will also take delight in what your heart desires. All that they are talking about, husbands and wives and business and so on, let them go and serve the Lord first. And He said that He will give you your heart's desire. Are you delighted in worshiping Him? Are you delighted in giving, some true giving? Or do you delight in leading a godly life? Do this and see that if God will not give you your heart's desire. And I think the last but one or so, He has also promised us of healing, also love, unbreakable love that can never be broken, and then eternal security. All these are promises from God. We have the promise of healing when we are sick. Look at Psalm 103 from verse 1 to 3. I can read it for you. There's no need for you to tell me because our time is running. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What are the benefits? Look at the verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He's the greatest physician. He's a physician of both the body and the soul. Remember in James, he said that if any of you is sick, let's call the elders to come and pray. If he has committed a sin, to be forgiven him, and the Lord will heal him. And Christ, when he was on earth, he demonstrated this, his power over illness. We learned from our Sunday school some weeks ago. He has power over every sickness. Do we really believe in this? Whenever we are sick, where is our first contact to the hospital? Do we go to God first? No, we go straight to the hospital. But here he has said, He forgiveth all our sins and He healeth all our diseases. And one of the attributes of God that I really like is His attributes of immutability. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Did He heal in the Old Testament times? Yes, there are so many examples in the Bible. Did He heal in the New Testament times? Yes, so many examples in the Bible. Did He heal after New Testament in the New Church? Yes, Does he heal now? Yes. He's the same God. Otherwise, this immutability will not be true. That he changes. He doesn't change. He's the same God yesterday, today. He never changes. So all what he did for our forefathers are there as examples for us, so that we can trust him. Now let's talk about his unbreakable love. The promise of unbreakable love that he has said. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39. I can read it for you as well. And this is the fact that nothing can separate us from the awesome love of God. He said, this is what he says in this passage. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friend, this is a serious promise. He said nothing. And he didn't just say nothing. He mentioned them. Things that can separate you. And he said that they can because of his love for you. Look at what he's saying. Neither death. Death does not separate you. When you die, you are going to him. Or when you are living. When you are living, you are living for him. Not even angels. That's why I said that if God is in you, do you fear principalities? Do you fear demons? No. Principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. The love is in Christ Jesus. That's why I always say, have you given your life to Christ? Then this is applicable to you. The unbreakable love that God has promised is also a promise for you, if you have given your life to Christ. And this is an unconditional love. Nobody can promise this except the Almighty. And that's the possession you have. You possess the love of the Almighty, and that will never change forever and ever. Then as we come to conclusion, let's see what he talked about eternal security. He has given you eternal security forever and ever. Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 27 to 28. And here is another awesome promise of eternal security. Listen to what he says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Another proof of perseverance of the saints. See, no one can pluck them out of my hand. And here he says, they will never perish. You will never perish. After we live here, we are going to live with him forever and ever in heaven. We shall never perish like the unbelievers. So, nothing can alter that love that God has for us, because we are children of God and we are eternally secure. Nothing, no situation, no human being can separate us from the love of God. And the last one, before we just go, the promise of heaven and a life of fruitfulness. He has promised heaven and also a life of fruitfulness. Let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. I'll read it for you because of time. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. You see, this is a promise of heaven. What I want you to see is simply this. A promise from God is an awesome thing. It's a precious thing. And my challenge to you today is simply, claim these promises. If you are born again, if you fully trust in Christ, claim these promises. Whatever you are facing in this world, whatever situation, remember who you are, a follower of Jesus Christ, and how rich you are. And listen, the awesome capacity that you have to serve him with all your heart, in a way that you too, you get your heart's desire. What promise is more than this? A golden promise. Look at all the promises that God has. There are so many of them. If you want to go through them, it will take the whole day. But I just took a few of these promises that God has given them. And he has given to believers, people who are born again, and yet we are not tapping it. That's what was happening to the people when Peter wrote to them. They were murmuring for the persecutions and the things that they were going through. And he was telling them in a way, in other words, he's saying that if you know who you are, you won't be worried about all these afflictions and the persecution. You are precious people before God. It's only you who are not tapping into the promise. And the promise is for you here today. I think this sermon should change the way you think about yourself, the way you think about God, the precious promise that God has laid for you, and be able to tap into it, apply it, and claim it. It's yours. The Lord has given you. I pray that the Lord will enable us to tap into all these promises.